Welcome to The Wolf Whistle, the podcast that interviews and celebrates the former players of our great club, Wolverhampton Wanderers. Welcome to The Wolf Whistle.
Welcome to a continued special series of Wolf Whistle podcasts where we speak to former players about their best 11 from their time at the club. We're lucky to be joined today by former midfielder Tony Dinning, signed for the club in September 2000 for £700,000, and he left exactly a year later, and we actually made a profit and sold him for £750,000. Tony, how are you?
I'm good, mate. How's yourself?
I'm not too bad, my friend. I'm not too bad. Now, to be honest, although your time at Wolves was short-lived, 39 appearances, 7 goals, you was pretty much an ever-present. Did you enjoy your time at the club, Tony?
I loved it, to be honest with you. It was one of them where I moved from Stockport, and I moved to Wolves, and it was a massive step for me, club-wise, and level and everything. I mean, the same league and everything else, but just a different level of club, to be honest with you. And like I said, I was really excited to get there, and like I said, I really enjoyed my time there, if I'm honest with you.
Well, you still live in the area, don't you? Not too far. Well, you're still in Staffordshire, so obviously you made the Midlands your home, didn't you, Tony?
Yeah, we decided to stay at the when we finished. We moved down here. Well, I moved to Brood originally, after looking in other places in Stafford. And then obviously when I moved on from Wolves and everything else, we eventually came back when I signed for Port Vale. So it was just, we knew the area anyway. It was perfect for the kids to settle.
Got you. And we do want to get you back on the Wolf Whistle for your full story, because there is an interesting story behind your move to Wolves and how it nearly didn't happen and you had to push the move through. But we will save that for your full podcast, Tony, because it is very interesting. So I've set you the task of your best 11 in a Wolves shirt. What formation are you going to go for, Tony?
Well, I've thought about it, and the formation I'm going to go for, just to, so I can include certain players, would be a 3-5-2.
Wow, 3-5-2. So, Mr. Dinning getting extremely technical with this. Who is going to be your goalkeeper, Tony?
Well, goalkeeper-wise, I mean, like I said, I was there 12 months. I managed to play with three good goalkeepers. But for me, I think potential-wise... and obviously, he, unfortunately, his career was cut short through injuries. But Matt Murray, the times I did get to spend with him in training and in games and things like that, you could see, like I say, without, if he didn't have the ongoing injury problems, I think he would have went on to be a very, very good Wolves goalkeeper. So he would get my choice between the sticks.
Brilliant. I mean, with Matt, I suppose he doesn't want to keep hearing it, but every time, you know, he does get a mention and people see him, they're telling him he could have played for England. I mean, he could have done, but it must be hard for him to take, mustn't it, with all that ability. Yeah,
100%. Yeah, I mean, like I say, I mean, players have careers and then finish through age, like majority of players. But like I say, for someone who was that technically gifted and had the potential to do whatever, like I say, it must be at about, obviously no one knows what thoughts are going on in his head and everything else, but it must be really, really frustrating to know that you did have it all, and it was unfortunate not being able to do it, basically.
Yeah, it must be very difficult. Now, you've gone for three at the back. Before we go on to that, Tony, you obviously signed as a midfielder, but you played quite a few games at the back as well, didn't you?
I did, yeah. Like I say, I enjoy playing anywhere, if I'm honest with you, for whichever team, whichever position, as long as you get on the pitch.
Yeah.
Is all that matters for a player, for me, in my eyes anyway. So, like I say, I'll play midfield, play at the back, play wherever we were maybe short that day, or if there was a suspension or something, or just got asked to fill in a position and what have you. Like, I've got no qualms with that whatsoever. I was quite comfortable doing both anyway. So.
And what was your favourite position? What was or what you class as your best position, Tony?
Probably in midfield, if I'm honest with you, because I think I enjoy playing at the back and everything else, but I always wanted to get involved in the game a bit more rather than just at the back watching everyone else doing it. I always wanted to be a bit more involved, so I think that's why I probably enjoyed my time in midfield more than in defence.
Brilliant. So, going back to defence, who are going to be your three defenders, Tony?
Well, number one on the right hand side would be Ludo Polly.
Ludo Polly.
Yes, because like I say, as a defender, he was absolutely brilliant, and he chuck his head in everywhere and block things and tackle this and tackle that. And like I say, he was a really good defender as well on top of that, and a really nice bloke.
Yeah, I mean, look, we all remember Jody Craddock, you know, getting the headband, but I think Ludo Polly started the trend, because pretty much most games he would come off with a headband on, covered in blood, wouldn't he?
Yeah, he would. Like I say, he was just a true defender, like I say, but not only, like I say, he was a proper defender sort of thing, as they used to be back then, but he, not only that, he could play as well, to be fair to him. So like I say, he was definitely one of the first names on the team sheet.
Brilliant. So who's going to be at the back with Ludo?
Alongside him, we'll have to put Paul Butler in the middle. Butts was just a great player, great leader. Like I say, and for me when I was there, he was a great captain, to be honest with you. Like I say, everyone had the respect for Butts, and like I say, he earned that with his performances and everything else, and his leadership. It was brilliant.
I mean, he was another one, wasn't he, Tony, where he'd put his head where some players wouldn't?
Yeah. No, like I say, he'd put his head where some people wouldn't put the boot. It was one of them.
And, yeah, it's about
like
right.
Like I say, he had the head to take it, that was the thing, but he was just a great leader and a great person to have in the dressing room more than anything else.
Oh, absolutely huge player for Wolves at that time. And who would be your third defender, Tony?
It would have to be Jolyon. I arrived at the club, I think he was about 19, he was only a young lad, and he played a few games, I think, before I got there. So I think the Wolves knew the potential he had. And like I say, he was just a great young player with a great attitude. And like I say, a left-footed centre-half, you don't see many of them now, never mind back then. But you just knew, like I say, his first proper season he had, you just knew he was going to go into bigger and better things, which he did.
Yeah.
And I think it all, like I say, I remember the game against Liverpool when we got beat 3-0 at home in the pre-season friendly, when he just, to be fair to him, we got beat 3-0, but Michael Owen and Robbie Fowler never got a look in with Jolyon there.
Really?
He handled them too really well. Yeah, he was brilliant.
Yeah, so even back then, as like you said, a 19-year-old, you could see the potential of him.
Oh, yeah, of course you could. I mean, everyone could, I think. And like I say, it just surprised me how long it took for a big club, should I say, to take him, to be fair, because you see players nowadays playing, they play five or six games and then they get signed up for like stupid amounts of money sort of thing. But Jolyon did it the hard way, to be fair to him.
Oh, yes, definitely. He did. And like you said, you know, he finally got his chance in the Premier League and he definitely took it with both hands.
Exactly.
So moving into midfield, I take it you're going to play three in the middle and two out wide. Who's going to be right-hand side, Tony?
Well, a bit of a fan's favourite, I think, for sometimes the wrong reasons, but Kevin Muscat.
Kevin Muscat, I mean, Muzzy, he would take the man the ball and the advertising hoarding, wouldn't he?
He would, and like you say, he'd probably have a smile on his face as he was doing it. He was one of them where you hear the term, I'd rather have him on my team than playing against him, and it was just so true, like you say. But it's not, again, I know we talk about Muzzy being a bit over the top sometimes and everything else, but as a player, he was so underestimated as a footballer in general. And like I say, he could play, like I say, made no mistake. I know he had his other side to him, but like I say, as a player, he was there. He seems a very, very good footballer.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people who speak about Kevin Muscat, Tony, what they always tend to say is he was a lovely guy off the pitch and he was nothing
he was
like
brilliant.
He was. But what was he like in training?
Well, he was exactly the same. And I remember my first day when I signed for the club, met all the players and everything else and shook their hands and spoke to them and everything else. And I just remember him coming across to me and saying, welcome to the club, this, that and that. I said, yeah, thanks very much. And welcome to enjoy it and everything else. And he just says, just a word of warning there. He said, make sure you wear your shin pads for training. I was like, really? He says, yeah, because I train as I play. And I'm like, that's fine, I don't mind that. So yeah, he was, you knew what you were getting from him. But like you say, off the pitch, you couldn't meet a nicer bloke, to be honest with you.
To be honest, Tony, you've probably just explained why Wolves had so many injuries at the time. Flipping heck. I mean, that's brilliant.
Yeah, that's probably why the training room was full, yeah.
Oh, sorry, you broke up then a bit, Tony.
Sorry, Jace.
Yeah,
like I say, that was probably why I don't think anyone got injured in games, I think it was more training.
But must have been. So, Kevin Muscat on the right, who's going to be on the left, Tony?
The left would be Mark Kennedy.
Mark Kennedy. I mean, to be honest, I've seen a few of his goals recently on social media. What a left foot Mark had.
Oh, it was just, like I say, I've played with a lot of left-footers in my career, but I'll be honest with you, he had the sweetest left-foot of the lot. He was, like I say, if he was wanting to drill the ball 40 yards, 3 metres off the floor, or 2 metres off the floor, even 6 inches off the floor, he'd just nail it. And it would, like I say, it was a bit of an arrow of a left-foot, to be fair to him.
Oh, it was. And, you know, obviously, after your time, Tony, he got that goal in the playoff final, but throughout his career... Yeah. You know, most of his goals were outside the box. And like I said, it was just, like you said, an arrow over left foot, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was, like I say. But like I say, I know he got his fair share of goals, but it was his quality, like I say, when you were getting corners and free kicks and difficult ones, but especially free kicks and difficult positions, thinking what you're going to do from there. He always had the technique, like I say, and the ability to make something out of a bad position with a free kick because of how good his left foot was, to be fair. And like I say, he could see a pass as well. So forwards and midfielders weren't afraid to make runs, knowing for a fact that he'll spot them and hit them.
Yeah. So, still in midfield... Who yep. are going to be your... I mean, obviously, you was a midfielder yourself, Tony, and feel free to pick yourself. Who's going to be your three midfield?
I'll definitely pick myself. well, the one in the middle, I'd have Ozzy, Simon Osborne.
Simon Osborne. Hey, he'll love this Ozzy, Will.
Yeah, because, like I say, he was... Again, really gifted footballer, both feet, and, like I say, he just knew, like I say, under... pressure circumstances, you'd pass him the ball. You could pass him the ball with three men around him. He'd still make a bit of space and find one of his teammates. Like I say, he had the ability to do that.
Yeah, I mean, he still does it for the Wolves All Stars, doesn't he, Tone? I mean, you and him in midfield. He's still the same, isn't he?
Yeah, but like you see, you just mentioned the common denominator there. It was myself. He always seems to be able to do it when I'm there. that's what I tell him anyway. As long as he just runs around a bit, I'll make him look decent.
Brilliant, brilliant. But like you said, very, you know, once again, I think quite underrated.
Yeah, massively, yeah.
Yeah, Simon. And, you know, one thing he does say is when he got the ball, he'd always, you know, he wouldn't be afraid to put a ball over the top. And sometimes it didn't come off and he said, the fans would get on my back, but I wouldn't change my game.
No, you can't, and I had a few arguments with managers about that, because if you're asking someone to create something in midfield, then you're going to have to accept that every now and again it doesn't work. But if you just tried it once and stopped, then, I mean, you wouldn't get anywhere sort of thing. It may take you 5, 6, 7 attempts to put someone through, but you just need it to happen once to be successful and get a goal from it. So you've always got to carry on trying what you believe in. If you're trying to create stuff, create stuff. If you want someone to pass the ball sideways for 90 minutes, then you're not going to get much off them.
Exactly, and as you know, Simon was a very creative player. So who is going to partner Simon? Who are going to be the other two midfielders?
Well, I'll have to put myself in next to him on the left.
Good man. I'm glad you picked yourself, Tony, because, look, at the time, I know you wasn't at the club for long, but we could see your quality straight away as supporters. And, you know, obviously, your range of passing was fantastic. You know, you get stuck in, like you said, you was quite versatile in playing in midfield and defence. But sadly, it got cut quite short. I mean, what's the story behind that? Because, you know, you come on the scene, you looked a great player, and then when we was getting the best out of you, all of a sudden you left.
It is, like, I mean, I'll be, like I say, I love my time there, like I say, and I felt like I slotted straight into the team. And I seemed to get picked every time I was fit, if I'm honest with you, without sounding sounding a bit what then. But like I say, I never really spent much time on the bench or things like that. I was fit, I played, and I just felt as well as obviously the person picking me was that fact that I offered the team a little bit.
Yes.
And like I say, I seemed to do okay when I was on there with appearances and goals and things like that. So but now, I mean, obviously I was disappointed to leave more than anyone, to be honest with you. But obviously when you get told that your name's getting shouted about for availability and everything else, then you know you're not wanted. So I'm not going to stay anywhere I'm not wanted, and I'll move on and play for someone that does want me, basically.
I mean, Tony, to be fair, you did have a very good career, and, like, you know, played at Wigan, Stockport, when Stockport were a championship club. So Wolves obviously was a big move, but I bet when you obviously signed and come to the stadium, you just couldn't believe it, could you?
No, that was something. It was one of them where I thought, that's me done. I'll stay here for the rest of my career, if I'm honest with you, because I just seemed, obviously, the Stockport were, like I say, and I've said this to people, Stockport's got very fond memories of Stockport, and always will have, and like I say, it was where I started off, and spent 6 years there and what have you. But it's always a personal thing in regards to playing in football clubs in general. When you turn up at Molineux, you see the size of the stadium and the history of the club and everything else that goes with it. You just think to yourself, well, this is a bit more of me sort of thing. And like I say, I'd have loved to stay around and enjoy the years in the Premiership and everything else. But like I say, it wasn't to be. But luckily for Wolves, they did get up there, and obviously they're up there again now, and things are going well.
Oh, of course. I mean, like I said, it was actually the season. It was 2002 and 2003. We went up. So, but when we get to obviously your full podcast, Tony, we'll talk all about obviously that you know your time at Wolves. Who is going to slot in between then, you and Ozzy?
It'll have to be Keith Andrews.
Keith Andrews. Well, he's making his debut then in the Best Wolves 11. So, I mean,
right.
Tell us about Keith.
I tell you what, the thing about Keith, I must admit, when I turned up at Wolves, I think it was me first or second training session, I thought to myself, who's that young lad across there? Again, young Irish lad, 19-year-old, I'm thinking, he can play. And you start thinking to yourself, why the same me, sort of thing, when they got him, you know what I mean? That was honestly what I was thinking. Because like say in training, he was a very confident lad, he was only 19, but he wasn't afraid to shout at the older pros, and he had that drive about him and stuff like that. And the appearance that sticks out in my head was, I got injured at Preston on the Tuesday night, it just gave me shoulder, and we had West Brom at home on the Sunday. And I was good that I couldn't play. Dave named his team, and he put Keith in there. I don't know whether that was one of Keith's first games. I'm not too sure on his appearances and stuff. But I just remember watching the match, West Brom at home, 1-3-1. I think George got two, George Undar. And I remember just watching the game thinking. And I said, and I actually went up to Keith after the game and I just congratulated him on a great performance. And I actually said to him, that was the best midfielder performance I've ever seen.
Really?
That I'd actually witnessed. In person sort of thing, because me being in midfield and Keith playing, because I was injured and everything else, you tend to watch him a bit more, do you get me? And
yes.
I just, like I said, I assisted him after the game. I said that was one of the best performances I've seen as a midfield player.
And once again with Keith, he did go on to have a good career after Wolves, didn't he?
He did, yeah. Like I say, he was, I don't know why he left. I don't know what his circumstances were for that. But like I say, I think he went on to, MK Dons, remember?
Yeah,
Had a good spell there with Paul Ince, and then rightly so moved on to Blackburn and had a bit of a better career, and like I say, got in the Ireland squad and things like that, and like I say, he was always destined to do that. It was just a matter of time, I think.
Actually very good player. He actually reminds me a little bit of you in terms of his range of passing, because you knew if he was going to play a pass, you knew it would go to feet, you know, he wouldn't waste the ball.
No, like I say, he rarely wasted the ball, but again, as a midfield player, and if you've got to believe in yourself, for one, and like I say, if you're going to make a couple of passes, get shy with that and then stop doing that, like I say, but it keeps the same as me and Ozzy, really. You've got to, if you want to create something, you've got to keep doing it. You're not going to do it every single time, and you're not going to do it first time, so just keep going at it. He was a confident lad as well, which is, you need confidence as a player, because if you've not got confidence in yourself, don't expect anyone else to have any.
So, yeah, exactly.
But yeah.
Good choice. And who are going to be the two men to get your goals?
Well, I've already mentioned them once, and this is George Undar. I think George was a very quick, intelligent, left-footed forward. He played across the front line, and like I say, and maintained there when he did play. Like I say, he terrorised defences.
Yeah. I mean, with George, once again, it was an injury that, you know, cut his time short and hampered his games, but everybody that's played with George did say what a special talent he was.
Well, he was like I say, especially in training, you try and get near him in training, and he was one look at the other way and he'd gone the other way sort of thing, and it was just like he was quick on his feet, like I said. I know he took that bad injury, but like I say, he's another one again who, given a free injury run sort of thing, he'd like I say, he'd scored a lot more goals, and I think he'd have been there a lot longer.
And he was quick, he was direct, he was skillful. Yeah. You know, he did have everything, didn't he, really?
He did. Yeah, like I say, and he had an eye for goal, but also, like I say, he was intelligent enough to know, like I say, if he got in situations where he didn't think he'd probably score, he always had the ability and the awareness to pick somebody out, really.
Yeah. So who is going to partner George Undar?
It'd have to be Adam Prowlock.
Adam Proudlock. Adam will absolutely love this. This, once again, it's Adam's debut in the best Wolves 11. I mean, tell us about Adam.
Well, he was just a natural finish at the end of the day. He was, when I got there again, I think he'd just come back from a loan spell in Scotland. I haven't scored a few goals. He was up front with Branch, I think, when I made my debut. Michael Branch was another one who was a bit unfortunate not to get in, but I just thought Priority had the more, when you're after goals, I think Priority was the one who would get your ball goals, if I'm honest with you. He was a bit more direct, probably a bit more selfish as a striker, which sometimes you've got to be. But that was Priority's game. His game was scoring goals, and he got enough for goals, and like I say, he gets me a vote anyway.
Yeah, I mean, with Adam, you mentioned about the move to Scotland. I believe it was Clyde, and he scored a hat-trick on his professional debut. I mean, he was a young lad coming through, and did he realise his full potential? It's difficult because he played in the Championship with Sheffield Wednesday, with Ipswich. But I wanted to see more of him in a Wolves shirt because he was, like you said, a natural goal scorer, wasn't he, Tony?
He was, like you say, he had the tag of the next Steve Bull when I turned up at the club. I think that's more to do with his build and his haircut, I think, more than anything else. But also, like you say, his strength, and he was just a very similar sort of player to Steve. Like I say, just a runner, direct, strong, wanted the ball played up to him, could bring people into play.
Yeah.
And like I say, he was just wanted to score goals, basically. And like I say, unfortunately, he didn't have more time to do that. But again, I don't know the situation on that one. But I just think, like I say, as a young player, when, like I say, when I turned up the club, there was a few young players there, to be fair, but they all had confidence in themselves, and rightly so. And like I say, they went on to do well.
With Adam as well, correct me if I'm wrong, did you play with him at another club as well, Tony?
Yeah, we, towards the end of my career, I went back to Stockport, and I remember hearing that Priority was on a free transfer, or he'd been falling out with his club, I think it was, could have been Sheffield Wednesday, I think, yeah. And I just spoke to our manager, and I said, because we were short of goals at that particular time. In fact, we had Glenn Murray on loan from Carlisle.
Oh, wow.
He went on to Crystal Palace and Brighton and stuff. Yeah, we had him on loan from Carlisle, Ben Murray, when he was a kid.
Yeah.
We were struggling for goal, we were struggling for a centre forward. And I just spoke to our manager, and he says, I think Priority's looking for a club. He says, do you think you can get him into training? Then obviously Priority only lives in Newport, so I said, I rung him up, took him in the next day. And I think after three training sessions, I think we were on a 3-year contract. So,
flipping.
Yeah, playing with Stockton.
And he had his very own chauffeur as well in town, didn't he?
He did, yeah. He was just about to get me a hat before I left, but I left just before he got me a hat.
Brilliant. And who would manage this great side, Tony?
Well, again, I mean, because I was only there 12 months, Colin was in charge first, then John took over. John Ward was caretaker till Dave turned up. Yeah. I know Dave done great things for Wolves after I'd gone and everything else, but for me, Colin, he was a player's manager. So it would have to be Colin for me, like I say, just because of the way he made you feel as a player, and like I say, he's coaching. He had to take 100% coaching. Obviously John helped him along with that, but Colin was always on the training ground and was always involved and literally wanted the team to play the way he wanted them to play. And like I say, he had the time to work with individuals as well. So he was more of a coach than a manager, but like I say, a good manager at that as well.
Brilliant. So your team, Tony, is Matt Murray in goal, the three defenders, Ludovic Pollet, Paul Butler and Jolyon Lescott. The five across the midfield, on the right-hand side, well, wing-back effectively, Kevin Muscat. Left side, Mark Kennedy. Centre midfield, Simon Osborne, Keith Andrews and Tony Dinning. Up front, getting the goals, George Undar and Adam Proudlock and the manager, Colin Lee. You happy with that one?
I am. You just read it out to me. We'll probably finish about 16th for our team. But I'm happy with that. Like I say, there's players that are unfortunate to be left out. But it's just, like I say, you asked me for my opinion. And I think, like I say, from when my time that was at the club, I think that was the best 11 that I played with, definitely.
Brilliant. And actually, just with your players at the club, I'm just picturing the shirt in my head. Was Tomori Ketsby there at the time?
Katz was there, yeah. Again, he was a talent. He signed him from Newcastle just before us. I think he was only there a couple of weeks before myself. And then you turn up and you see how talented he is with both feet and everything else. And he was a bit of a crowd pleaser at times, but again, yes, with that sound and wrong and slagging the man off, he was one of them where, for me personally, if you had the ball, he was great. But obviously, when you didn't have it, it's like you're playing with 10 men. Without sounding thingy, but but then some players you can't expect everyone to do everything sort of thing. You do, no one expects Messi to work back and things like that, but it's the end of the day, that's Lionel Messi, you know what I mean? It's and again, attitude I think plays a big part with players and training and things like that. And like I say, I still remember the incident at Crystal Palace, I think Keith may have got sent off. I'm sure it was Keith Andrews got sent off at Palace.
Yeah.
And obviously, we're a man short in midfield sort of thing. So Dave made the decision to take Tomori off and bring a midfielder on, which he didn't see the logic of that for some reason, considering he was playing up front. Yeah. And he decided just to storm straight down the tunnel and take his top off sort of thing. So a bit disrespect to the manager. So it was one of them, and you just think, well, it's obviously sometimes you've got to make sacrifices for the team. And obviously, if you're a midfielder down, always being sent off, then you need to get another one on the pitch. So like I say, Dave made that decision to do that, and he responded by doing that. So you just think, that's not for the team. I mean, that was an individual thing. And you just think, well, I mean, we won the game 2-0, if I remember. So I think Dave made the right decision in the end.
And to be honest, when you're down to 10 men especially, but even when you've got 11 men, you do need strikers that, you know, if you are under pressure, they've got to get back. But Tomori, you know, he was his own man, clearly, as we've seen throughout his career. He obviously, you know, didn't like tracking back, did he?
No, well, that's the thing. Like you're saying, if you had someone for him, like a Peter Beardsley, who not only could play up front, but he'd work his socks off getting back, and he'd sit in there and help the midfielder when they're under pressure, and then break forward when he got the chance to. But if you've got a forward like Ketsupaya, who just wanted to stand up front and just not work back, then obviously Dave found after 5 minutes he wasn't prepared to do that. So he obviously took him off and put a midfielder on, like you say, and we went on to win the game. So I'm sure it was Keith that got sent off, or Keith come on, one of the two, but Keith's involved there somewhere.
And you'd obviously worked with Dave Jones before, hadn't you, as well, Tony?
Yes, Dave was at Stockport in 94 when I turned up. He was first team coach under Danny Begara. So I'd known Dave for, like I say, 5-6 years anyway. And then Dave had won that great run that got promoted in the semi final of the League Cup and stuff. And then Dave moved on to Southampton in the Premier League. And then he had a good spell there. And then he had a bit of time out of the game. And then obviously he got the job at Wolves in January, I think it was. I think his first game was Burnley away, I think it was, on New Year's Day. We won 1-0. Dave, like I say, Dave was always going to get the best out of teams. That's what he does, and that's what he's done all his career, to be honest with you. He went to the places and done well with them sort of thing. So it was no surprise that he did that at Wolves, to be honest with you.
Brilliant. Well, Tony, that is a fantastic team. We really appreciate having you on the Wolf Whistle today and giving us your time. What we will do, like I said, we will get you back on for your full story, because there is some interesting twists on how you eventually got to Wolves and you had to push it through. But we will save that for the full podcast. So stay safe, Tony, and thanks very much for your time today.
No problem, Jay. Thanks for having me on.
Thanks, Tony. Bye now.
Cheers, Jay. Thanks a lot.
Bye.
Bye.